Amen. Thank you. Good singing and everything tonight, and good crowd, good spirit. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Let's go to Matthew in our Bibles tonight. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to go to these three familiar verses. I go to them every now and then and go back to them tonight. And that's the last three verses in Matthew 11. I want to preach to you tonight on the greatest invitation, the greatest invitation. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, giving you a moment to get there. Great verses in the Bible. There's so much to unpack there, and I've preached, I don't know, three or four messages off of it, referred to it many times, and want to go back to it and look at it here again this evening. I was wondering, I did have a question, and I never really found a good answer. I think I found the answer, but I never really, you know, looking in commentaries and all. Why is Matthew the only one that recorded these verses? Because, you know, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels, a lot of similar stories. And if you've got a reference Bible, you'll see that this isn't, you know, recorded anywhere else. So Matthew is the one that gave this, and I would think these are so good they all would have told these words. But, you know, we don't know all the words or miracles or works that Jesus did. I mean, John said the world wouldn't hold the books if they told everything that he did, right? I've had a couple of really busy days this week, and I thought I had a busy day. Well, in 3.5 years, they said you couldn't... the world wouldn't hold the books if they told you everything Jesus did and said. You want to talk about a busy 3.5 years. Matter of fact, I think it was a busy 33.5 years. He was always busy, wasn't he? The Lord didn't have idle time. But anyway, Matthew recorded these words, and I'll say more about that in a moment. All right, let's look down at verse 28 of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, guide and direct us in this tonight. Thank you for these words. Thank you, Lord, they were recorded for us here. And just help us as we look at them tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is invitation. Now, the word come is in the Bible a lot. That is the great invitation. But this is, I think, the greatest invitation in the Bible, where Jesus says, come unto me. Now, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, all you that are working, you're tired, you're under heavy burdens, heavy laden, and what's he going to give you if you're like that? Rest. He's going to give you rest. Well, that's interesting because in verse 29 he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, when you think about a yoke, you're thinking about plowing with a pair of oxen. Does that sound like rest to you? Is that restful? Anybody ever done something like that? Some of our older folks in here, is hooking two animals up to a yoke, there's rest right there in that, right? No, not hardly. I had a man tell me when my granddaddy died, if I heard him right, now I don't know, I've never done this. He was like, your granddaddy was the only man I knew that could wear, I think he said, 2 mules out in a day. I was like, okay, I guess that's a big deal. I don't know. I don't remember if he said two. Surely it wasn't three, right? I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. But I know that's hard work is what he was implying, And so anyway, a yoke, you put a yoke on those animals, that's for work. Well, he's talking about putting a yoke on you now. Well, he just said if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, loaded down, come to him and he'll give you rest. But then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, he's not contradicting himself there at all. I believe what the Lord's saying there is, you're going to work with me, and I'm going to work with you and make your load lighter by yoking up with him, right? But you still got work to do, amen, right? So you don't work to get saved, but when you get saved, you ought to do some works, right? So now he says, I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Then he says, learn of me. And then he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now, that's an interesting phrase as to why Matthew wrote these words. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, whenever he says, therefore, I am meek and lowly in heart, he said, learn this of me, basically. Learn this of me, that I am meek and I am lowly. I think that's key as to why Matthew is the only one that wrote these words. And I think it's this. Because Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience, primarily, who were burdened down with the rules and regulations of the Old Testament law. They were under the burden of the Pharisees. They were under the burden of the sacrificial system. They were under that Old Testament law that could not bring forgiveness and could not save anybody. So you could never do enough, right? So what Matthew is trying to say here, as a Jew himself, is I want you to learn about the gospel of grace and the gospel of rest in Jesus Christ. Because you are burdened down by these Pharisees that you've been listening to. I think that's why you find Matthew focused on this. He was one of them, and he come out of that system, so he knew how it worked. He knew how the religious system was a burden on the people. He knew how trying to keep the law and trying to work your way to heaven, it just was too much, and nobody could ever do enough, right? You ever tried to, God, I'm trying to make you happy so I can make it. That is a burden that you will never be able to get rid of, right? Until you go to Jesus and realize there's forgiveness for your sins. And there's rest in Him. Right? Y'all with me? So Matthew was trying to write to this Jewish audience about this. So he said, hey, if you'll learn of me, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Well, guess what that means? Well, that Pharisee and that scribe and that Sanhedrin that I've been trying to please, those religious leaders, they are not meek and they are not lowly in heart and they are harsh and they're hard and they're burdening me down. He said, learn of me. I'm not like that. This is the day of grace. This is the day of faith. This is the day of rest. This is not the day of working your way to heaven. This is the day of by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and the work that He would eventually do on the cross, right? We're not working our way to heaven. We don't need to be under that burden of trying to get to heaven. How many people are trying to get to heaven? How many religious people are just trying to do their best? They're trying to get to heaven. You can't get to heaven. You just, that is a burden I hope I make it. A lot of folks are saying that today. I hope I make it. There's no security in that. There's no rest in that. There's no comfort in that. Amen, right? Hey, if you die today, you're going to heaven because you're saved by grace in Jesus Christ. You can rest in the promise. Amen? Oh, man, I hope I did enough today. I hope I'm doing enough in my life. I hope I'm doing enough. No. There's no rest there. Oh, I hope I don't lose it. I hope I don't fall off the wagon somewhere and not make it in. There's no security in that. There's rest and safety and security by simple faith in Jesus, by the gospel of grace and rest. Amen? Right? So Matthew, so as I thought about that, why is Matthew the only one that recorded? It's because of his audience was a Jewish audience under the burden of that Old Testament law. But you and I can relate to it as well. If anybody's ever tried to work your way to heaven, you can understand he's trying to say, hey, it's the gospel of grace. Now, another thing is this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Now, the nation itself, the nation of Israel, was at this point in the process of rejecting Jesus, right? As a nation, so now you've got an invitation that is to the individual. All ye that are burdened down with all of this, this invitation is to you. This invitation is not necessarily to the masses or the nation as a whole. It's to whosoever will may come. Amen? That's the great invitation in the Bible. Whosoever will may come. Well, you know, as a nation, he went unto his own received him not. As a nation, they rejected Jesus Christ. But yet, you got Peter, James, and Paul. I mean, you've got individuals who said yes to Jesus and got saved. Amen? Right? Individual Jews got saved. Why? Because they took him up on the invitation. You go to the book of Hebrews. We went through the book of Hebrews one time. We talked about that over and over and over again, how they could not understand that they could let go of the ceremonial laws and the sacrificial system and just trust Jesus. Boy, they had a hard time with that. So that's why Matthew is focused on that as he's talking to these Jewish people right here. So Jesus made this appeal and this invitation to whosoever will may come. The nation rejected him, but individuals could come to him. Man, it's still an individual. The gospel is still an individual thing, right? Jesus said he came to divide. Now, he didn't really come to divide. What he meant was families are going to be divided. There's going to be husbands and wives who don't get along because one's saved and the other one doesn't want to be saved. There's going to be siblings. You're going to have one sibling in the family that is righteous and godly, and then you may have other siblings in the family that don't want anything to do with it. Isn't that kind of odd? Because in most cases, they all sat right there in the same Sunday school classes under the same teachers and preachers, and yet one seemed to get it, and the others went off and did their own thing. Isn't that pretty amazing? Now, Jesus taught about the four soils, by the way. And there's some in that as well. I've often been amazed at how people in a family, you can have a godly, righteous person in a family, and you look at them and you say, well, I know your family. Where did you come from? You know? Y'all with me on that? I know your family. Why are you so different? Well, Jesus did something for me. Amen? Well, I thought your other ones were there too. Well, I don't know why they didn't get it. The four soils are pretty interesting about that. But anyway, it was two individuals. So let's look at a few elements about this greatest invitation right here. A few things. Number one, I want to say to you tonight, number one, there's a direction in it. There's a direction. Jesus said, come unto me. He gave direction, right? Where were they going? They were going to the synagogue. They were going to the priest. They were going to the Old Testament law. They were going to everything else, trying to get their way to heaven. He said, I'm going to give you a new direction. Come unto me. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me. That's a change of direction for them, wasn't it? Now, what were the Pharisees trying to do? Well, they eventually crucified Jesus. They were trying to get the people not to go unto Jesus. And Jesus said, come unto me. And the Pharisees were like, don't go to him. And then they're huddling together. How can we get rid of him? The people are flocking to him. They're listening to his teaching. They're listening to him. How can we get rid of him? So Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you a new direction. Come unto me. Don't go to the synagogue. Don't go to the Old Testament sacrificial system. Don't go to the Old Testament law to save your soul. Come unto me. That's a change in direction. Amen? Right? He gave them something different. So we're all natural born sinners headed in the wrong direction, by the way. Now, people are bent to religion oftentimes. They're bent to things, but the fact of the matter is we're all hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-deserving from the time we come into this world, right? And you know what a change of course is? You know what a new direction is? We call it repentance. You know what repentance is? Change of mind, change of course. I've been going my own way, doing my own thing, been walking off in this direction, but I've changed my mind. Instead of going in the way of unbelief and going in the way against God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk with Jesus from now on. You repented, you changed your course. Amen? You were going that way on your own, in your unbelief, in the philosophies of men, in your sinfulness, and you say, no, I'm going to turn around. And I'm going to agree with God, and we're going to walk together. Can two walk together except they be agreed, right? So they're going to walk together. We're going to walk with Jesus, no longer following the road of unbelief, but looking to Jesus. Go in His way. Go in His direction. Come unto me. It's the invitation exactly for that. Change your direction. The Jews were following the law. The Jews were following the Pharisees. And Jesus said, I want you to change course. I want you to come unto me. That was different. They said, go to the altar with your lamb. Jesus said, I am the lamb. Change course. Right? You don't need to go to the lambs. You need to come to the Lamb of God. Amen? So it was such a change for them to deal with that. So no longer go on the path of religion and good works, but get on the path of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Come unto me. Isn't that a new direction? People are, you know, going their own way now, trying to do their own thing, trying to get to heaven, and you say, no, you can't do that. Just go to Jesus. Well, I'll get to heaven. Maybe when I die, he'll see how many good works I did. No, he said that's his filthy rags. Bring your sins unto him. New direction, right? Go in that right place that you ought to go. So there's a direction here. Come unto me. Number two, there's a decision. He said, take my yoke upon you. You got to make that decision. You got to make the decision to take and receive what Jesus is offering. Now, they wanted what the Pharisees were offering. They wanted what their religious leaders were offering. Jesus said, no, come unto me. Take my yoke. Because they got a yoke on you now called religion that is, you're crumbling under it. He said, come to me now. I want you to make a decision. New direction now. Go in this direction now. And make this decision to come unto me and take my yoke upon you. You need to leave the works for His work. His eventual work, by the way, that He would do on the cross. They were all about the lambs and the sacrificial system and the atonement. He said, I'm going to take care of that on the cross. They were looking forward to the cross. We look backwards to the cross. The atonement for sin, right? You have to make a decision. Am I going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior or not? Amen. Am I going to receive Him as my Savior or not? Am I going to leave the sacrifices for the sacrifice? Am I going to leave my self-efforts and my good works? Am I going to leave my sinful ways for the way of God? Am I going to leave working my way to heaven for resting my way to heaven? Well, that's a difference, isn't it? You can try to work your way or you can try to rest your way. In what? In the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm not working my way to heaven. I ought to work. I get that. I ought to do some works. I already said that. I ought to work for the Lord and serve the Lord. I get that, and I'll get to that in a moment. But right now, I'm resting my way to heaven in the ark of safety, Jesus Christ. Amen? Why are you going to heaven? Are you that good? No. I'm in Christ. I'm going because I'm with Jesus, right? There's rest in that. So he says there's a direction here and there's a decision that you need to make to stop working your way to heaven and rest your way to heaven in the work that Jesus already did. Amen? That's good. I like that, right? That's good right there. All right, number three, there's a development. And again, there's more we could unpack, but number three, there's a development, and that's when he did say, learn of me. Why do you need to learn of him? Well, now that you're saved, you're in the new direction, you're going in that direction, you've made that decision, you know what? Now you're saved, and now you got to do what? Learn of me. Go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, preach the Word, and learn the Word, right? Learn of me, development. What are you developing into? Likeness of Christ. He said, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. That's not what they got from the Pharisees. That's not what they got from the Old Testament law. But from Jesus you get grace and truth and love and forgiveness, right? And faith. And you're developing as you learn about Christ into the likeness of Christ. Amen, right? Not of works lest any man should boast. Man, I worked hard to get up here. You know, look at, boy, you'd brag about it. You'd brag about it. Now you're saying, no, I just rested in Christ and I didn't work my way up here, but he sure worked on me on my way up here. Amen, right? That's the work that's going on right there, is that the Lord is working on us. Now let me say this. I'll say it again. The yoke does imply work. There is work. But it's enjoyable work. Do you enjoy living for Jesus? Do you enjoy serving the Lord? Did you find out serving the devil was no fun at all? And that was more burden and bondage than certainly than this, right? Oh, I got to go to church, and I got to do this, and I got to, preacher talking about the cleaning list again and all this. I'd rather serve Jesus than serve the devil. Amen, right? It's enjoyable to serve the Lord. He's developing us, and we're not really working for Him so much as He is working on us and working in us and through us as we are yoked up together with Him. Now the work is lighter because guess what? Look, if you ever try to live the Christian life on your own, you ever try to do work on your own and not trust God to help you or work in you or through you, it's frustrating, right? It's frustrating, isn't it? I heard some preacher, by the way, recently. He was giving a testimony. He was talking about a church that he was in one time, and he said they were having a revival in the church. They were having souls getting saved. He said, we're baptizing people by the dozens. He said, then it slowed down. And a deacon came to him and said, preacher, have you noticed, people aren't getting saved. Church ain't growing like it was a couple months back. And the preacher said, not my problem. What he meant by that was, he said, that's God's problem. He said, God's been doing it and God's going to have to keep doing it, right? Now, that does not excuse us from the work of prayer. That does not excuse us from the work of evangelism. That does not excuse us from the work of witnessing. You get my point. But God gives the increase. And what the preacher was saying was, he was a little frustrated. He was like, I didn't hear you praising God when all the people were getting saved. Now I hear you complaining to me because we ain't getting the blessings we used to get. Now, Job taught us something about that. When God gives it, thank God for it. When He takes it away, you praise God anyway. Amen, right? Why? Because you're relying on God to do the work. It's not our work. That takes the burden off. Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say you were going to build it, right? Did Jesus say you were going to build the church? No, He said He was going to build the church. Now, did He say He was going to work in you and through you and use you to do it? Yes. And it's enjoyable. Now I just preached on Mary and Martha, right? Was Martha happy? No. Why? Because she was trying to do all the work in her own power, right? Jesus said, you're cumbered about with much service. Do you get weary in well-doing sometimes? But Martha could enjoy the work. Why? Because she took time to soak in the Word. Hey, I want to tell you, the work of the Lord is much more enjoyable when you're in the Word of the Lord, right? She sat at Jesus' feet. Now, there's been times when I didn't enjoy the work of the Lord as much as I ought to. You know what those times were? I was trying to do it by myself. But if I'll take time to sit at Jesus' feet and let Him do the work in me and through me, I find out when I yoke up with Him, it's much lighter. Amen, right? There's much less to be concerned about or worried about. You just trust Him with that increase. Amen. Y'all good with that? I'm talking about development here. You learn of the Lord, He develops you. And by the way, those dry spells, you know what that is? That's development. Lord, we're used to the blessings. Right now, we don't see the blessings. The Lord's developing your faith right now. You know how it is when things are going so good, you get scared because, boy, what's about to come, you know? The trial is coming. The valley is coming. It's going to be a time of development in your life. Amen, right? The Lord's using all of that. He uses the blessings. He uses the trials. And He's developing you to learn of Him and to become more like Him. So He's developing us. There's direction there. There's decision there. There's development there that He's working on us. Learning that He's meek and lowly. Not overbearing like the religious leaders and the religious system was overbearing. You ever been under in a church or under preaching that was just, It wasn't about the word. It was about you keeping the rules every day and you checking the list every day. Did I read my Bible today? Did I pray today? Did I witness to somebody today? Did I avoid this today? And after a while, it's like, am I living for Jesus or just trying to keep a checklist or wear myself out? Did I pray for 3 hours today or did I walk with Jesus today? You get what I'm saying. Rachel said, I got to pray 3 hours a day or else. Some will tell you that. Some will do what the Pharisees do, and they'll put those burdens on you. I believe in living right. I believe in doing right. I believe in service, all of that. But if I'm doing it in my own power, it's no fun. And if I'm doing it to work my way to heaven, it's fruitless. But if we're walking with the Lord, we'll enjoy it a whole lot more. Again, like Mary, more so than Martha, right? All right. He's developing us through all of that, though. Amen? All right, there is direction, there is decision, there is development. Number four, there is discovery. Because he said, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said you're going to find something. You're going to find rest for your souls. Now, I tell you what, you get saved, folks, you're going to find a lot of things. That's discovery. Amen? Have you found out a lot of things since you've been walking with Jesus? Have you grown in the Lord? Have you learned some things? Have you found out some things about God? Did you find out that the devil never was your friend after all? Amen? Right? Did you find out that some of those people you thought were your friends were not your friends and they were carrying you down into sin? Did you find that out? There's a lot of discoveries once you get right with God. Amen? And those discoveries, the main one is you find rest in Jesus for your soul. Trying to satisfy people, you find that that doesn't work. But I tell you what, you get right with God, you accept this invitation, you'll find God's love. You'll find that rest. You'll find truth. You'll find His power. Once you get yoked up with Him and He comes alongside you, that's what the yoke is. You teamed up together. Amen? Isn't that good? Isn't that the idea of the comforter? He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The comforter is coming. And the idea of the comforter, it means come alongside of. Anybody ever come up beside you? Maybe put their arm around you and said, hey, I'm right here with you. I'm with you all the way. I'm praying with you through this thing. That's what the Holy Spirit, the comforter, does. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to, you yoke up with me and we'll be side by side walking together. Amen. He's not pushing us. He's not forcing us. But if we'll let Him, He's right there with us. Amen. It's a wonderful truth in the Bible that we have. He's not pushing us. He's patiently working with us, in us, and on us. I preached on patience recently too, right? Patiently, the Lord is working with us. You know, He has to have patience too. I need to be patient with myself. I'm glad He's patient with me too. Amen, right? I need to be patient with others, but I'm glad He's patient with me. We need that patience from the Lord. Amen. You'll discover that He won't put more on you than you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, you'll question that one sometimes. But if you trust God through it, you'll find it's the truth because He said it. Amen. He said you're not going to crumble under the pressure. You're on the rock. Just preach on that one too. That's a lot of Bible truth right here in these verses. Amen. A lot of the principles are right here. You'll find that you're on the solid rock. You'll find that you're no longer shifting and sinking in the sands of philosophy in this world. You'll find that the Lord is right there with you and beside you and under you and helping you. You'll find, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. To them that love God, they're called according to His purpose. You'll find that to be true. Amen? Those two promises there about not putting more on you than you can bear, if I'm not wording it quite right, but you know what I'm talking about. And that all things will work together for good. Those are two promises. They're big promises in the Bible. They're probably the most doubted promises in the Bible too, isn't it? Lord, I don't know if I can handle this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I like Philippians 4:13 a lot these days. And that's what the yoke is. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things now. I was trying to do it before by myself. That was frustrating. I can do all things now because I'm yoked up with Jesus. You're yoked up with the Lord. I can do all things because He strengtheneth me, right? Are you trusting Him? Now you can bear up under more things. You do see things working together for good. You discover God has been working behind the scenes when I didn't know it. God, where are you? You forgot about me. No, He's been working behind the scenes. Y'all believe that? He's been working in ways that you didn't discover till later on. I tell you what, don't give up your praying. Don't falter. Don't fall by the wayside. You hang in there. You will find and discover He's been with you all along. The old footprints in the sand poem. Amen, right? And when you get to the end of that thing, you look back and you say, one set of footprints. Why is that? Did you leave me? No, I carried you during those times. Amen? That's the yoke. That's the yoking up together there with the Lord. Amen? That's why I say it's the greatest invitation. You'll find a lot of things when you accept the invitation, come unto me. Have you found a lot of things since you got saved? Have you found Him to be faithful? Even in those times when you thought He left you? He was faithful, wasn't He? The old devil lied to you, didn't he? He lied to y'all sometimes. God's done with you. You done messed up one time too many. God's forsaken you. God's put you on the shelf. God ain't never coming back. That's the devil. That's not true. That's not even biblical, right? That's not biblical at all. God, you know, well, look, if He doesn't have any more plan for you, I'll tell you this. You're going to heaven anytime, right? If He doesn't have any more plan for you, you're going to heaven. Because He's going to keep that promise too. As long as you're here, He's got something going on for you. Amen? As long as there's breath in your body, He's got a plan for you, right? He'll use you, work in you, work on you, work through you. And if He's not, then just go ahead and say, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Instead of saying, He forsook me, He abandoned me, He forgot about me. No, it must be time to go to heaven. Or either I just need to open my eyes up and see the Lord's still around. Amen? He's still here. Amen. Isn't that the greatest invitation? Come unto me. Are you heavy laden sometimes? Are you burdened sometimes? Are you overwhelmed and overburdened and overloaded sometimes? Anybody like that? You know, labor. Yeah, by the way, look. Labor is countered with what? Rest. You know, He uses the word, I will give you rest if you, what? Take my yoke. Give and take there. We take what He offers. He gives us. You take Him, He gives you rest. Right? Y'all see all that? Labor is met with rest. Taking is met with giving. By the way, you take it by faith. You don't earn it. He gives it. Right? All of that's right there. I mean, I can't hardly read mine. I've got all those words circled. They're circled. And you're going to find something. Rest. I like that word, souls. This is spiritual. Amen? I'm trying to quit, y'all. We got to have prayer time. I'm trying to stop. But I like that word, souls, there. It's resting to my soul. It's a spiritual rest. Amen? I mean, we can relate to physical rest. We get that idea, amen, right? We get the idea of work. We get the idea of the yoke. But this is rest unto your souls. Why? Verse 30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know what that is? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Right? He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's because nothing too hard for God. So when you yoke up with Him, what was that old saying about prayer? When you pray, you've got the power of the world at your hands right there. Why? Because you're praying to the one, you're talking to the one that is all-powerful. It's rest. I mean, it's easy now. It's not grievous anymore. Why? Because I'm with Jesus. The greatest invitation. I hope you've taken it. Let's stop right there. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd encourage in our hearts with it tonight. Strengthen us with it tonight. We've enjoyed looking into your word tonight. And God, just thank you for the encouragement, Lord, that is there. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Think about that. Think about it in your heart, what God's given us there tonight. We're going to sing something. And then after we sing, we'll go off live stream. Thank you, folks, for watching us tonight that have watched us. But we're going to sing a song, and then we'll go off of there and have some prayer time with those that are here tonight.